Hello altogether. Nice question. Well, never for those people who are currently in the situation, of course. But I will answer this for everyone because my experience is that many, many people will encounter this situation when they deal with themselves. So as soon as you turn yourself towards not pleasing others or pleasing your religion, pleasing society, pleasing your family, what they think you should do, nothing like that, but just turn inside and to turn towards your heart. What do you want? And not only what you want from your, let's say, egoistic point of view, but more from your, what is your greatest joy? Why are you here on this planet? And as soon as you take care about this question and do your first experiments with that, you'll find out meditation is a way to solve that. Well, at the end, it's the only way I know. There's no other way I know. So, but this is working. And step by step. So there will be a time when you encounter that maybe here in this case, people can also be the kind of food that you take, can also be how you deal with your family, can also be what work do you have, what do you do for your living. All of these things can be become more conscious about what you're doing there, what you're experiencing there is not what you like to experience. And at the beginning, you don't have a clue how to change that. You just know, well, that's not the way it should be. You don't know how it should be, but that's not the way. And I always recommend when you encounter that, and that's the goal of meditation at the end, not to have some inner nice experiences, but to live them, to live a more beautiful, a more conscious, a more powerful life, which is not only better for you, but for everyone at the end. But here in this specific situation, I will explain about how people can react to what you're doing. Because when you start living, usually you are conditioned by school, by society, etc., by all. And by this, you get somehow conditioned into your roles, how you fit into society, fit into friendships, working and family, etc. And this fits, of course, because you are taught like you should behave. You always take your karma with you. You always take your insights that you had in your past lives about who you are, etc. also with you. So this will not always be perfect, of course. Most people are more into how to please society, please politics, please their parents, etc. And they find out that they get along with that and they are somehow, I wouldn't call it happiness, I would call it satisfied. So they think to be satisfied is enough. That's okay, there's no problem with that. But then you will, you have to avoid certain questions, you have to avoid certain meditations, you have to avoid certain insights and also certain contacts to people who are beyond that. That's why there is a separation between these things. And when you are inside of a functional relationship of your people around you, and you start turning towards yourself and you find out what you do and what you say and how you consume information, how you consume food, how you decide things, how you want to your life power, how you want to use it for whatever you want to empower, you will get more and more conscious, more and more empathic. And then there will be a point when you find out you want to decide differently. Because maybe a very, very simple thing. You just maybe decide, I don't drink alcohol anymore. That may be a very simple decision. And because of your surrounding getting used to you, drinking with them, going to party with them, etc., then you get an alien. That's the fact. Because they think a certain behavior is a proof for friendship. And you can't behave like that. You can't say there is a scheme of behaviors, how you say this is a friendship behavior, this is not a friendship behavior. You can work like that, you can live like that. But at the end you'll find out that's not how true friendship is working, how true at the end love is working and happiness is working. It's not about a code of behaviors. So in my experience is when you need a code of behaviors, it doesn't matter which ones, society wise or riches wise or whatever, or culture wise, when you need a code of behavior, then you are already subconscious. You are already working with automatic behaviors that you don't question. This can be okay for some time. Most people choose like that because it's much easier, because it would mean when you question these things, you mostly will find out that's not true. It's not the most loving deal, most loving decisions, most loving behaviors, etc. And then there's a problem with that, because we have some very deep rooted fears. We have, let's say, two parts how to deal with that. And these parts are so biologically imprinted that it's very difficult to for even one person, but for many people, so societies, it's more difficult, of course, to change that. Means the first, that's the core brain system. Let's say that's the stem system. That's the stem cells, that's the no stem cells. What is this? The stem brain functions means it's about surviving, and most people are, let's say, mostly out of that part. And now working in the second level of fears, and that's not about I have to survive, which is more the core of the brain, but about the next level. This is the limbic system. It's more about we have to survive. It means we as a family, we as a society, we as a religion. Always is this we. But when you have this we feeling, it's about you found out long ago that as a group it's easier to survive than to be alone and solo and do your own things. So as a group you can in many ways you can find out yourself by using internet. In many ways as a group it's easier. It's also known as the crowd intelligence. There is some kind about crowd intelligence, but there's also some kind of crowd stupidity. And that's the case here. So when it comes to personal development, personal enhancement, all of these things, then you will turn toward yourself. And when you turn toward yourself, you will turn away from those crowds. And then you have a problem, because everyone who's not behaving as a crowd is behaving is in danger. It's like when you have a swarm of fishes or a swarm of birds, and then you have some animals who are prey, who are trying to kill you. Of course, that one animal, that one fish, who's not inside of the crowd but trying to get outside of the crowd, first of all, is in danger. So the crowd sometimes tries to keep you inside because they think it's safer for you. So there's also, let's say, some kind of good intention, but at the end it's driven out of fear, a fear of dying. And that was, at former times, of course, a real fear. And the second part is that when there's one behaving differently, it reminds all others who experience that, who observe that, that it's possible to behave differently, and then they activate at the same time the fear of dying, like feeling if they were you, then of course they get in danger. So by behaving differently in the crowd, in your role systems, you activate the root fears of dying. Very simple. Most people just don't know that. They just argue, oh, why are you not drinking anymore? Why you don't go to party anymore? Why you're reading these strange books? Why you're talking like that? This is all nonsense. This is all out of fear, not a questioned fear, because they're not conscious about why they are talking like that. But you will find out, if you not only hear these words, but you feel these words, you will find out they are not out of peace. They are not out of goodwill towards you. Because fear is never a goodwill thing. So you have then more a signal, let's say, you are on a border. You are on a border. You have now the decision, you have to leave the crowd or you come back to the crowd. Most people at the beginning go back to the crowd, but that's very easy. You are surrounded by a well-known behavior, a code of behaviors that you know how to deal with. That gives some kind of feeling safe, because this is a comfort place. But that's also something you have to deal with. So the one thing is you're leaving people who think you get yourself in danger by that. So you are the problem, and you are also at the same time bringing those the group also in danger, because when a group gets smaller, it's also getting those group more in danger. Of course, the bigger the group, the more safe everyone feels, because they can hide like sheep in that. That's the sheep behavior, and there's some kind of sense in that. But we are not sheep, and that's why we can't go beyond that, because we don't have only the limbic system and the root system. We also have a higher brain who is able to behave differently. But you have to choose which side are you on, because it's not possible to do both. So when you choose to get out of the limbic system, you are activating your fears of dying, you're not suffering, you are also you're feeling the connections that you have with people out of fear. They are, because they are activated and blaming you what you're doing for nonsense, etc. And also, this can help you. This is not something wrong. It can help you, because it's at the end, it's just telling you have to become more conscious about what you're doing. Because now you're leaving the, let's say, safety of the crowd. Do you want that? And usually, you'll find out there are many questions that you have that you can't answer. What is your life like when you're outside of that group? Because maybe this was your whole life before. So you don't know anything else. Also have somehow to trust blindly that this can be lifted, this can lead to happiness, etc. So I say, out of my experience, if you live in the limbic system out of fear just to not die and suffer, and that's why you're following the crowd, and that's why politics are working. You see that in just last years how well that worked already. So limbic system is just currently the most powerful system that we have to surrender most people. If you're also let's say feeding that system, because you have the choice which system inside of yourself do you want to feed, which is the root of your decisions, and you can of course use fear, but at the end when you are turning towards unconditional love, fear is vanishing very fast. And that is why I'm always recommending to do sun gazing or sun meditation, because the feeling of peace and of joy and of love are so fast and so much evolving, a coming force inside of yourself. You will feel that fear is diminishing by itself. So if I would experience fear, I would go to the sun. That's it. If I don't know who to ask, or if I don't know how I have to decide, or if I don't know how to deal with that fear, with that behaviors of other people trying to get me back into the crowd, then I will trot towards the sun. That's one way. There are other ways, like when you could do Vipassana, on the 10th day you learn something called Metta Bhavana. This is also very similar, but it's very, very, very small sister of sun gazing and sun meditation, how heart opening that can be. There may be other techniques, I don't know, but these are working, and they are simple, and they are free of charge. So, and they are available almost every day, so you can practice that. So if I would feel fear, of course, in fear, you cannot be inspired. In confusion, on that border, if you want to leave the limbic system, which means you have to leave the crowd of people who want to live inside of that limbic system, you also will leave them. Doesn't mean you have to leave them by heart. I mean, you can still love them, of course, because love is unconditional, so doesn't care about the behavior. But there will be the time when you don't go to party with them anymore, or don't have much time with them to spend anymore, or only specific things you do with them. And this can be with your family members, maybe not all everyone, but some of them. Maybe also your friends that you called friends before. And your colleagues, etc. So Then I would just practice some meditation, because in some meditation you get back to your peace and joy, etc. When you are more advanced, you'll find out how to do that even without the sun, because you are so experienced how to switch that inner light on. You don't need an outer light to switch it on. But if you forgot about that or never experienced that, you don't know how to handle it, no problem, just go back to the outer sun and get back into peace. And then you open the door for inspiration, because in fear, only the role play is playing of the limbic system. You cannot be inspired, because inspiration comes from a different system. It doesn't come from the limbic system. It's not possible. Inside the limbic system, it can only deal and teach you about and help you with crowd things, you know, topics, but not about the heart, about your true being. So that's never possible when you are inside of fear or an anger or a sadness. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult to be inspired in such a state. So you have to just then turn towards yourself, if you are in that state of emotions, and ask yourself, what should I do? And just try any way that you know to go back to peace without any, let's say, tricks. So don't use any drugs, because this is not working. You have to go willingly into peace. And this can be just a walk. This can be you go for swimming. It can be you do some garden work. It can be you go to the sun. For me, the fastest way is to go to the sun. But there are other ways. If you go to nature, you also get more calm and go back to yourself. This is also possible. But sometimes people are living in areas where there is not much nature, so it's difficult. But if you live near a forest, of course, that would be a great idea to just take a day out and go to the forest, get in the lake and go swimming away from people and more into nature. And then you'll find out you get back to more to yourself, and then you get more inspiration how you have to deal with that. I do the same things all the time, and it's working. Because not that you find the divine in nature, but that the nature is a very nice window to the divine. So if you don't have any other windows, like meditations, this is one way to do. But it takes much longer, of course, and maybe not that available. So this is the road I would take. That's the road. And then there will be a time when you have to decide. But beforehand, I would really recommend to use that situation. To use the situation and find out, okay, those former friends are shouting at me, those colleagues are telling this or that, my father, mother, whoever, is telling I'm crazy, I need some therapy, I'm wrong. And then you do not really know if they are telling the truth, if you are really the problem, or if they are the problem. You just don't know. So I recommend just to use the situation and find out what this situation is switching on inside of you. Because maybe when your relatives tell you this, or friends, close friends tell you this, it may lead to some kind of confusion. It can lead to some kind of sadness. It can lead to feeling lonely. It can lead to anything. It doesn't matter. What it leads to is exactly what you need now to feel. So other people are switching on some trigger inside of you, and there must be a trigger, because the trigger is triggering on, let's say, your limbic system. And you wanting to decide, okay, how to live without that trigger, but you have to look at the trigger first. So it means you just feel how it's feeling lonely. It's okay to feel lonely. It's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that most people when they're feeling lonely, for example, they are trying to avoid feeling lonely. They say feeling lonely is wrong. And then they go back to this old system, not to feel lonely anymore. That's very, very common. I just say, just don't do anything. Just feel lonely. It's just any emotion. Like, all emotions are coming, staying for a while, and they are leaving. Don't try to avoid that. Use that emotion. This example, it's loneliness. Use loneliness to teach you. Loneliness will teach you how you are not with yourself. You will find out how did you lead your life until now to be not with yourself. Because being not with yourself leads to loneliness. And when you feel lonely, and feel lost, of course you are searching for other people because you think, when I'm with other people, I'm not lonely. Well, that's not the truth, because when you get back alone, your loneliness is still there. So it means it just being with people is just a compensation of not feeling lonely, but it's not a solution of not feeling lonely. So for a solution, you don't, this is very important, don't have to change the feeling. You just have to feel the feeling. You don't have to comment the feeling, to avoid the feeling, just to feel the feeling. You dive into the feeling. You enjoy that feeling. It sounds strange, but that's meditation. To not try to change anything, to take it as it is now. And if you now feel lonely, then feel lonely. There's nothing wrong with that. And yes, when you dive into that, you allow yourself to feel that. Of course, usually the emotion becomes deeper, becomes more profound, becomes stronger. And then it also can become, let's say, physical, that you feel like fainting, that you feel like feeling very, very cold. Like all of these things. There are also, let's say, physical symptoms that you can develop because you're feeling lonely. And also then some pictures and movies can come up, some fears can come up. Or like situations when you felt lonely as a child because somebody was not there, because mother just left the room for some minutes and you just saw she was gone forever. Whatever, what comes up. These feelings, these pictures, and these body sensations, just let them happen. Don't intervene with them. Don't change them. And let them do their play. And yes, if you go deeper, it also will happen that you will go into karmic memories, means not only from this life, but also from past lives. And usually, not about you as a victim of people leaving you and then feeling lonely, but more as the active part, how you left people in loneliness. And this is, yes, that's also a burden, but you have to also go through that. It's the same thing, it's just the opposite side. And when you have felt all aspects of loneliness as a victim and also as the active part of leaving people consciously, that they feel loneliness and are suffering from that, when you have felt through both parts, then you are able to go beyond loneliness. If you have the plus and minus, the yin and the yang of loneliness felt completely, then it's integrated, it's consumed. When it's consumed, it's like food on a dish, it's gone. You can't experience it anymore. If the banana is eaten, the banana is gone. So if the loneliness is eaten by consuming, by experiencing, there will be a time when it's gone. Of course, this can take some time, because usually when it in former times wanted to be felt, you avoided it all the time. So there can be a small hill or even a mountain of loneliness that has to be consumed. Doesn't matter, the countdown is running. When you start consuming it, there will be a time when it's gone, and then you are then only able to decide, not out of loneliness, out of fear, but beyond of that state. It's not controlling you anymore. It's not controlling your decisions. And then only you get deeper insights. You get insights why you have chosen to do that, why you have chosen to leave people, why you have chosen to feel lonely when people leave you, all of these things. And you get more conscious about how you're constantly in your daily life turning away from yourself, leaving yourself alone. And by this, experiencing all of this red race of not feeling alone, not all of this fear of dying, that's the same thing. At the same, this is one pot, let's say, of feelings. They are related. And when you want to live a life beyond of these emotions, deciding out of love, deciding how you lead your life out of happiness. It's not possible when you have the poisons of fear and loneliness inside of you. So that's the path. It's very simple, because the easiest thing is that you don't have to do anything for feeling that. And that's a paradox, let's say. So people are feeling loneliness or fear of anything, and they are longing to feel something different, because somehow they know you don't have to feel like that. But instead of solving that by consuming it, and that's meditation at the end, it's more about compensating it all the time, because there are also, let's say, some beliefs about social and natural things about human beings that are completely wrong. It's like fear is a part of being a human, or feeling lonely is a part of being a human, and no, it's not. So that's such a deep-rooted belief that emotions are part of being human. Say no. Let's say the animal part, maybe, but not the divine part. It's like a play. So you're playing with these things, and you will find out. There will be a day when you'll find out you are consciously, willingly using emotions for manipulation. All people I know, and I was the same at the beginning, because I found out emotions are on the one part and the best tool of manipulation, manipulating yourself and manipulating others, of course, but also a tool of feeling entertained. So if you think life is boring, then of course you need some entertainment. And that is, these are these emotions, these places of emotions are feeling, sometimes feeling alive. So, but if you think you have to feel, you are only able to feel alive through going through such dramatic emotions. So these drama queens, this ego is a drama queen. So these drama queens, of course, then you will never let them go, because you are using them all the time and you're enjoying them somehow all the time. And by this enjoying, also suffering from them, of course, because this costs a lot. So, and that's also one root thing. I always explain why do people think life is boring, and this feeling of dramas is necessary to feel alive. It's because they don't know why they are on this planet. It's the same thing. If you don't know who you are, you turn towards loneliness, you turn towards fear of dying, and then the whole play, a rat race of ego, begins. The same thing here. If you don't know why you are here, you feel lost, and then you just try to find any new reasons for living. And one very nice goal, that's why there's also a cinema, that's why there are so many books and stories, etc., and politics and etc. It's all entertainment to feed the drama queen of the ego inside, or king, the drama queen of the ego inside of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to feel something which is eternal, if you want to decide or lead your life, let's say, lead your life out of Trinity, like consciously being a peaceful love, then it's not possible to do both. So it's not possible to keep your fears. It's not possible to hug your drama queen every day. It's not possible to follow rules of religion, society, etc. This is not a way. So you'll find out there will be a time when you find out what love wants to do through you, and this is not what society is telling you. If this would be the case, that society is an expression of unconditional love, everyone would be enlightened now. I repeat that. If society or religion, take anything, or culture, if culture, religion, or society would be an expression of unconditional love, everyone who is inside of that religion, society, or culture will be enlightened and is enlightened. But that's not the case. Just look around you. And that's why I call these systems, let's say, as the safe haven for the ego. To feed that, to keep it on, etc. Nothing wrong with that, but you have to know when you turn towards yourself, you are leaving the ego. And by this, you are also leaving people who love the ego. That's it. And this will change. And there will be a time, I did for myself was the same, I found out these types of people, they are not wrong. I just positioned myself wrong. So if I go to a restaurant and I want to have noodles, but they only have fries, it's not the restaurant is wrong. I just positioned myself in the wrong place. So if I'm surrounded by, let's say, the people who are more expressing fears and expressing emotions and the drama queens, I positioned myself wrong. Not they are wrong. No, because they have a free choice. They can do like that. So if I'm in the wrong movie, it's my failure. Not the movie is the problem, or the people going to that movie are the problem. But I have chosen the wrong movie. That's my failure. So then you go out of that cinema, out of that movie. You're leaving the people who love to stay in that movie. And then there will be a time, like in the cinema, the same, when there is nobody. So when you are in between two movies, of course, there is nobody usually. When there are always movies running only. And that's what we call a part of the twilight zone. So you are leaving one system. You're not really, let's say, inspired maybe in the beginning or really knowing what you're doing, but you know that's not what I want to live. I don't know exactly what I want to live, but that's what I don't want to live. You're getting more and more clear at the beginning, and you're leaving the old system. And that's like leaving a specific cinema, a specific movie. You're leaving the people there, you're leaving the movie there, and then you're outside of that. And then you can get inspired what other movies are there. But you have to first deal with all those magnetic, gravitational systems who's driving you back to the old movie. And these are these emotions, these are the role plays. Let's say you just have to pay the price. If you're leaving the limbic system, if you're leading your life out of fear and out of loneliness, etc., then you have to pay the price. That's it. Sorry. Like with everything. And then when you are comfortable being only with yourself, I think it's a very important stage. If you're comfortable or even loving to be only with yourself, to enjoy yourself. Let's say, for example, people thought I was crazy to go alone into the cinema. Yeah, of course. Or to cook a very nice meal and light some candle only for myself. They thought, no, that's only when you go with people to cinema, or when you're cooking nice meals, you do this with a group of people, but never for yourself. And that's also some kind of the reflection of the ego. You are not worth anything. You have to gain some worth, some value, and this gain of value is only with people, etc. Yeah, okay, there may be some truth into that, but this is only true for the limbic system. At the end, I don't know how this is in different religions, but in Christianity, I think, well, not the Christianity, I don't like that religion. It's more about Jesus, because he didn't found any religion. He just said some very profound things that you have to, let's dive into and drop these information into your heart. Like you are a reflection of the divine. You're not a creation of the divine. You are a reflection of the divine. So when this is not enough for you, you are searching from other people to give you some value. Because your behavior, they say, oh, that's nice. Or your job, that you get some career, and then it's nice. So you have always to gain some value. But this is at the beginning. First, you throw away the divine gift of being a reflection of the divine. And you say, no, that's not enough. I need to do more. I need that guy or that girl needs to like me. Then I only feel nice. I don't care if God likes me. I care that girl, that boy has to like me. Well, sorry, but that's so deeply ignorant. this is the core of the ego, one part of the core of the ego, to pretend being a reflection of the divine is not enough. So you have to find out, being alone doesn't mean to feel lonely. You're getting along alone much more consciously, much more peacefully. You will find out your behaviors will change, how you eat, how you consume information, the pauses that you take in your daily life, how much wellness you or body care you take, or how you deal with your money, all of these things. This will change slowly when you find out you are left only by yourself. I think that's a very good thing. And then, if you did that for a while, it will happen that you will attract, that's by itself, you don't have to do anything for that. You will attract people who do the same, who are feeling that they themselves are enough, who don't need you to feel whole. You will attract people only when you feel a little bit whole. Not doesn't mean you have to be enlightened, but a little bit whole, just being yourself, not needing so much many as other people. If you are very much in need of other people, you will end up with people who also are in need with other people. But when you take the time being with yourself, and that means turning from loneliness to feeling comfortable, just and joyful being alone, it's different. And then you attract people who also are, let's say, don't need you, but they consciously and willingly choosing to spend some time with you to be happy together. Not to need you to not be lonely, or to need you to not be in fear. And then this is a complete different relationship, because those people, they won't lie to you, because they have no need to lie to you, because they don't need you to if they lose you. People usually like to lie to you because they need you not to feel lonely, not to feel the fears. But do you feel whole, alone, why you should lie to people? You find out you are just more in peace. You stay in peace because you don't need others. And because you find out how you deal with your life, to love your life, to love your body, to enjoy your life, to enjoy your body. And without the need of others, and then you'll find people who do the same only. So it's not possible to keep that fear and that drama queen into high stages, and to need this deep need of other people, and turn towards people who don't need that, because you won't attract them, because they're behaving so differently. You'll find out you won't see them. They are always there, but you just won't see them. Yes, there are not that many, I know. But there are many more than in all lives I encountered before. So there are many more people who are, let's say, spiritually evolved, many more than ever before. And so it's somehow easy, let's say, to find more than 12 people like Jesus did. So, but it takes some time. But you have to start with yourself. And then when there are This turning towards yourself is so much enriched that it's, let's say, rooted in your life, in your being. And this can take some time, not days, but mostly weeks or months minimum. Then this will spread to the outside, and the creation will reflect that. And that's exactly what I did. This is exactly what others did too. And I know that this changing of the people, of the work you're doing, of the food you're taking, of the information you're receiving, etc. This is switching, but it always starts by turning towards yourself, staying there, staying in that decision, paying the price of that the old world is leaving and new world is coming. It's like getting a new sofa. You have to take the time to get to let people get the old sofa out of your apartment. Then you have a small time when there is no sofa, and then the new sofa will be delivered. This is the same in life. So you have to, when you're leaving a specific cinema, this takes some time until everything which is trying to stick to the old world that you have chosen before will leave. And the best way, let's say the best time to leave the old world you have chosen until then is when you find you are completely 100% in peace with that old life. Mostly people like to flee from their life, to run away from the old life. I say this won't work because let's say those systems or those mindsets where it comes from at the end. This is the mind always is there where you are. So if you don't change the mindset, it will just, you can leave the country, go somewhere else, but it will build up again the same old system because you haven't changed your mindset. So you have to get in peace, because peace is pushing away in a very peaceful way. Peace is the pushing principle, not the attracting principle, but the pushing principle of what you don't want. So whatever you find in your life which you don't want, find the trigger in yourself and be in peace with that. Be in peace that there is loneliness. Be in peace that, yes, before you needed drama. Yes, you needed people before. You used the people who don't feel lonely. Just be in peace with that. And then you can change it. Like for one simple example, I felt I cannot pay my health insurance anymore because I had this health insurance out of fear. And I don't want to feed my fear. But I know just to cancel it would be just naive. So I meditated on that. Why, on that fear, how do I feel without a health insurance? And then fear came up, fear of suffering, fear of dying, etc., of course. And I felt these emotions, took some months, and because this is not a small thing, because we died so many times and suffered so many times, it takes some time. And then I felt, now I'm in peace with suffering. It's okay to suffer. I'm in peace with dying. It's okay to die. And then to just cancel my health insurance was just a formal act. It wasn't an emotional act anymore. Before, it was just like ripping a leaf off a tree. Why it's not, let's say, stick to the tree. So what you have to do is to dry out. You have to dry out the old world. And I did that. I was this going into peace with these emotions is drying those leaves out. And then they fall from the tree, from your old world, from your mindset, by themselves. It just needs some time. And I felt it was the right time to cancel my health insurance when I was completely in peace doing that. There was no inner energy flowing, no thoughts coming up, no emotions coming up, no body sensations coming up. It was just like doing a step, just opening a door. But it wasn't any emotional or mental or physical thing anymore. And then I know this leaf is dead and this is just falling off from me. And now I can turn to something else. And now I deal with my health completely differently than I did before with a fear-driven health insurance. That's what, just a small example, but this is how it works. And just take your time, be gentle to yourself and say, you don't have to solve that until tomorrow. You have eternity to solve that. So it can take weeks, it can take months, even it can take years. It doesn't matter. You just stay in that direction. Let life show you what emotions still are related to an old world that you want to leave. Be in peace with that, what's coming up inside of you, until you find out they are consumed, they are completely enjoyed, and this inner movie is coming to an end. It's dying because you don't give them any food anymore. You know? Because giving food means giving a reaction anymore. You're just being able to leave all those people in peace. You are able to leave all those behaviors in peace. You just don't choose them anymore. You, even with yourself, you are in peace with yourself, how you behaved. You just don't choose this behavior anymore. This wasn't a wrong behavior. It just was any behavior that you were able to choose. Because you are a divine being means you are, you have the right to all behaviors. And if you want to leave one behavior, be in peace with that behavior until the role dries out and it's dying by itself. And then you are still able to reactivate that role, but you just don't do it. You choose something differently. Maybe a different role, that's okay. But also maybe something which is a role, because if your true self is not a role. It's like an actor who has some text he has to learn, to his deeds he has to do, the words he has to say. There is a role play, of course. There is some script he has to follow. But your true self doesn't have any script, but it's capable of doing all the scripts. And That's what you have to choose. So being in peace with one role is leaving the role. Reacting to a role, to trying to change that or feeling not well in this type of behavior that's maybe automatic, you can change that. So if you feel not well being lonely, you are feeding that loneliness. If you are in peace, it's okay, I'm lonely, that's fine with that. I'm just feeling it, don't react to that. Then you are not feeding it anymore, and then it's drying it out, and the rest is just time. And take your time. There will be a time when this will change. And you can find out by the outer reflection. So the more you turn away from your old roles, the more they come up inside and outside to try to get you back. That's the first reflection. The more you are able to be in peace with parts of that, so those like in a what's the name in English? This marionette? I think it's the name also in English, where you have these strings on a puppet, and these will lose by themselves if you are just allowing them to be. That's the strange things. If you resist them, you give them strength. But if you're just allowing them to be and not reacting by this, it's getting loosened until it's just gone. And then there will be a new reflection that people somehow, even in your surrounding, they start to change. There can be small things, like maybe you just have chosen to change your eating more healthy. Let's say like this. And you get in peace with your longings about specific types of food, about sugar, maybe about alcohol, about meat, doesn't matter. Any kind of, let's say, food addiction that you have. And you're being peace with that. You enjoy that and you say, yes, I enjoyed that. There's nothing wrong to be addicted of sugar, something like that. I enjoy that. But I'm in peace with this addiction, and by this it gets dried out, and then there will be a time when the sugar addiction, for example, is gone. And then you will find an outer reflection. You will find out that maybe there's some new food products or some new restaurants or new cafes or people cooking different that you like. You go there for having a meal together. They are cooking differently with less sugar, just by themselves. And then you know, okay, there is an outer reflection of my inner work. And that's the best feedback that you can have. But it takes some time. You have to deal with your inner world first until you get the outer reflection. But this outer reflection is a very concrete feedback. You did everything correctly to get from point A to point B. And the same here with people. So I also recommend to experiment with that, to enjoy doing failures and find out how you exactly produced that failure so you don't repeat it anymore, and how you produced effects that you already have. So most people who start meditating, that's now for the end because it's a long audio already, but it's not a small topic, but most people are going through this twilight zone, is that you have to look back. I recommend now what you should do is to look back. How are you compared to 5 or 10 years ago? Maybe there are parts who didn't change, but there are already parts who are more conscious about things, who are capable of doing differently, maybe of not doing it correctly, but who are, let's say, more brave to try it out, just to do something else and not stay in the unconscious dwelling of not knowing who you are and etc. So how much consciousness did you gain in the last 5 to 10 years? How much peace, how much willpower, how much understanding, etc., etc., did you gain in the last 5 or 10 years? Well, gaining is not the correct word. It's more like revealing. You don't gain power, you don't gain peace. You just reveal a peace or reveal a power or consciousness you already had all the time. But you have to choose, I want that. And then you have to pay the price, and the rest is time and staying on the road.